Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Pro Football Focus does a great job breaking it down throughout the season, throughout the offseason. Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus is joining us now. You can follow him on Twitter at @PFF_Sam, and he did a great piece on the 15 players with the most approved entering the 2020 NFL season. But Sam, welcome aboard. How are you? Happy 4th of July weekend.
Thanks, you too. I'm doing good. How about you?
Doing the best we can. Before we get into this Prove It Year piece that you guys did, we did want to start here, as it's myself, Mraz, with Andrew Bogish, that Cam Newton signs with the New England Patriots, and immediately that became the firestorm of, you know, who's now the favorite in the AFC East, how much does Cam bring to the table? And I know the ultimate what-if that there's no way for us or PFF to know is how healthy will Cam Newton be. But if we do get a healthy Cam Newton, how significant an improvement do you feel the Patriots' offense would be with a Cam Newton as opposed to a very unknown with a Jarrett Stidham or maybe even a Brian Hoyer?
Yeah, I think any variety of healthy Cam Newton, and let's remember there's a hell of a spectrum, even with healthy Cam Newton, between, you know, all the way up to MVP to somewhere around league average quarterback. Like, he has been all over the map in terms of how good he's been throughout his career, even when healthy. But any variety of healthy Cam Newton is a massive upgrade over Brian Hoyer, certainly, and probably Jarrett Stidham. You know, we're all working a little bit in the dark when it comes to Stidham, but the chances are Cam Newton of any ilk is going to be dramatically better than that. It's still going to be really interesting to see, though, what that offense looks like. You know, what Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick cook up in terms of crafting an offense around Cam Newton and his unique skill set to best take advantage of what he can do. That, to me, is, you know, the most interesting part of this entire thing is seeing what a Bill Belichick offense looks like when he has Cam Newton to work with.
What about, Sam, all the guys around Cam in that Patriot offense, at receiver, at running back, at tight end? If he's at full health, you know, are they good enough to really then maximize what he can do at the quarterback position?
I think the receiving core collectively around him is still a problem, even when he's healthy. It was a problem for Tom Brady last season. It's a problem for Cam Newton this year. And obviously, they're two dramatically different quarterbacks. But the fundamental issue is the same, which is, I mean, last year was the slowest wide receiver or the slowest receiving core period in the NFL. This season, it's basically the same group of people. They added a couple of mid-round draft picks at tight end, but wide receiver, there's nobody there that separates, and that's a major concern. Julian Edelman can separate, but really only underneath from the slot, and that's not where Cam Newton does his best work. He needs somebody that can get down the field, that can operate in the media or the middle of the field, operate on the intermediate level, and make some big chunk plays. And for that, the Patriots are relying on, you know, Mohamed Sanu being a completely different player, recover from injury, or N'Keal Harry taking a massive step forward in year two, and separating's never really been his MO, even back in college, or a guy like Demir Byrd suddenly transforming himself into a different player because he's the one guy on that roster with a modicum of speed. So, yeah, I'd be concerned that this receiving group as a whole, whether it's wide receivers, tight ends, can actually help Cam Newton, or if they're going to be a drag on him and what he can do.
Cam Newton, obviously the injuries have been such a big part of the story with him the last couple of years, and keeping him upright will be of the utmost importance. In this Pro Football Focus piece that you can find at PFF.com on the NFL 15 players entering prove-it years in 2020, you have Isaiah Wynn, the Patriots' presumed starting left tackle, listed here. You know, he's only had 7 starts at left tackle. It was a guy that Pro Football Focus liked a lot coming out. Truthfully, I have always watched Tom Brady with the belief that Tom Brady has masked a lot of deficiencies along the New England Patriot offensive line, the getting rid of the ball quick, and even with a lack of mobility, I've always found it amazing. And a lot of these guys who have left the Patriots as offensive linemen, take Nate Solder, for example, have struggled when they've left New England and gone elsewhere. And whether that's coaching, whether that's scheme, I do think the loss of Tom Brady and the addition of Cam Newton, though, will still hurt that offensive line in covering up deficiencies. How important is an Isaiah Wynn to that? And do you have confidence in the Patriot offensive line keeping Cam Newton healthy and him still being able to be productive the way Brady, to a degree, was productive with that offensive line?
It's a great point because, you know, data at PFF really has been highlighting how important quarterbacks are in terms of owning their own pressure rate from the offensive line. They control it a huge amount by just how long they're going to hold the ball. And you're right, Tom Brady has been one of the best in the NFL in terms of getting rid of the ball quickly over his entire career. And last season, a huge part of the problem was everybody thought that the Patriots' offensive line took a huge step back a year ago, but because the receivers weren't getting open, Brady was holding onto the ball longer than he ever has before. So it wasn't so much the offensive line, it was the fact that Brady wasn't masking them as much as he used to. He wasn't able to, because there was nowhere to go with the football. So I think that's still a concern. You are moving to Cam Newton, who generally holds onto the ball longer than Tom Brady anyway. So that was going to be a bigger ask for that offensive line, even without any additional concerns. But then you still have that problem of the receivers and the fact that there's nowhere to go with the football if nobody is getting open. So I think it's a real concern that this receiving group is not good enough to give Cam Newton a picture that's good enough to get rid of the ball quickly on a consistent basis, and therefore the offensive line will probably be an issue next year. And Wynn is under pressure now because of that. He steps into a situation, you know, through no fault of his own, where he suddenly has to be a lockdown starting left tackle, and he's going to have a tougher job than he would have if it was a season or two ago, where, you know, you had Tom Brady and knew you were going to get a certain degree of protection from your quarterback.
Sam, another name on your prove-it list is Josh Allen, the Bills quarterback. We have spent a lot of time on the air, off the air, trying to figure out just how good the Bills can be. Sean, in particular, gets really annoyed when people talk about the Bills being super good in the coming season. Where do you guys fall on a Bills projection for 2020?
I think everything in that team is set up for that kind of really good season, but it relies on Josh Allen taking another step forward. And, you know, even Josh Allen, the most ardent Josh Allen supporters, don't necessarily contend that he's really good right now. It's more, look, he took this big step forward from year one to year two. If he takes another big step forward, now you're talking about, you know, a really good quarterback and a player that can take this team where it needs to go. And that's all true, but that needs to happen now. You know, he's under pressure now to take that next big step forward. Otherwise, he's a cap on how good this roster can be, because the Bills have really done a great job in building around him. You know, they've put 3 receivers now who can all get separation at what they do well. They've rebuilt the rest of the team. The scheme on both sides of the ball is really good. So now all the pressure is on Josh Allen. He needs to take that next development step and prove that he can make those big plays deep down the field and that he can be a consistent quarterback.
One player not listed on a prove-it year in 2020 that I actually think has a lot to prove because of what was basically a lost season, and it kind of relates to Josh Allen, is Sam Darnold, the Jets quarterback, having the mono issues last year. Obviously, he didn't make this list on the 2020. Where do you view the Sam Darnold versus Josh Allen argument? Because while it seems a lot of people want to crown the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen as the favorites, and I get it. They made the playoffs. They have a better defense. They have a better head coach. I look at that quarterback position, and I personally still would rather have Sam Darnold than Josh Allen. Where do you fall on Sam Darnold over a Pro Football Focus and the pressure on him entering 2020?
Well, I think you highlighted the one difference, which is that Darnold essentially has an excuse. You know, you almost throw out last season because of the mono issues, because of the fact that he did turn it around late in the season, and you can kind of craft a case that it wasn't the real Sam Darnold last year. I think the big point, though, is that neither of these guys have necessarily shown that they can be a consistent plus starter down the line yet. So they both enter 2020 with this point to prove that they can actually be that guy. For as much as we've seen from Josh Allen, he hasn't had a PFF grade over a season above 65. And this is, you know, a 0 to 100 scale. 65 is not particularly high. Darnold is the same thing. We haven't seen Sam Darnold post grades that suggest he can be one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL yet. So both these guys need to prove that they can take a pretty significant step forward over a full season. You know, if you want to get to where the top-end quarterbacks in the NFL are, even if you want to get to where guys like Deshaun Watson and Dak Prescott, these sort of top 10 quarterbacks that haven't quite made the breakthrough into being one of the best, that is a long way from where Sam Darnold and from where Josh Allen currently reside. So, yeah, I think he's in the same boat with Josh Allen in terms of needing a big season in 2020, albeit for different reasons.
Sam, as you write on PFF.com, the Browns have changed everything around Baker Mayfield to put him in the right spot to succeed. What does he have to do, though, as a quarterback specifically on the field to be better here in the coming season?
Well, last season, it's not that Baker Mayfield was this flawless prospect coming out. You know, we loved him coming out, but there were negatives in his game. It just always felt like nitpicking to sort of highlight them. But last season, he lent into all those negatives. You know, everything that went wrong in Cleveland in 2019 sort of magnified the things that Baker had a tendency to do badly in college and his first year. And he needs to sort of pull his way out of that rut and reverse course, you know, and stop feeling phantom pressure in the pocket and bailing from clean pockets and basically trying to do everything himself. Just, you know, play within the system, play within the structure of the offense, trust the fact that your pass protection is going to hold up, even though sometimes it won't, and just play your game. And we saw way too many plays last season where Mayfield just didn't trust what was around him and started trying to do everything himself, you know, take off from clean pockets, run to the right, get himself boxed into a corner and just find himself with nowhere to go. You know, the offense should have some structure to it in 2020 that it didn't really have a year ago. And, you know, they have, everything they've done has been about trying to solve all those outside factors that would influence Mayfield into doing things like that. So now all the pressure comes on him to prove that he can, you know, reset, get more relaxed with the system around him, with the people around him, and just trust other people to make plays.
Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus. You follow him on Twitter, at @PFF_Sam. Sam, one of the bylines of your Twitter profile, which I love, is prematurely predicting decline. And I just want to get your thoughts on Odell Beckham, who's also listed here as a guy with a prove-it deal. Look, I am a New York Giant fan. I don't hide it. I was an Odell Beckham apologist for a long time. I love the guy, love his game, love his player. But the fact remains, Odell Beckham has not been the same player he was very early on in his Giant career over the last 2, even 3 years, where the legend of Odell Beckham seems to outweigh the actual what you see on the field from Odell Beckham Jr. When we talk about the most approved, if we don't have a signature star-studded Odell Beckham year, are you confident that we will ever see the Odell Beckham that we once saw, or is that decline in full free-fall mode for him?
Yeah, I guess it depends how close he gets. I thought he was really good in 2018, given the quarterback situation that he was working with. He wasn't as good as we saw, you know, right out of the gate, where he was just phenomenal as a rookie. Second year was incredible. Those first 3 years were pretty amazing. He wasn't that good, but he was pretty close. And when you consider that Eli Manning was in pretty full decline at that point, I thought that was pretty impressive. Last season, you know, he was dealing with this sports hernia injury all season long. I don't know that we ever saw a fully healthy Odell Beckham. But what was maybe more concerning is he and Baker Mayfield just couldn't get on the same page all season long. I've rarely seen a quarterback and a receiver so consistently unable to be on the same page in terms of running the right routes and being in the right spot when the throw is delivered. And I don't know whose fault that was. You know, it's impossible to know unless you're in that room. Was that Beckham consistently getting his route wrong? Was that Mayfield not reading it correctly? But, you know, every time the ball got put in the air, Odell Beckham's running a post and Mayfield's throwing a dig or vice versa. And that's strange. You know, that needs to get itself worked out, because no amount of recovery from a sports hernia is going to put them on the same page if they're just running different routes or expecting the ball to be somewhere it's not. So that, I think, is a big concern that, you know, regardless of how physically talented Odell Beckham is, you know, he can't fix passes that are just thrown somewhere else. So the biggest thing they need to do is to get him and Baker Mayfield on the same page over this offseason and at least give them a fighting chance for Beckham to make all those plays and to be the special receiver we've seen him in the past.
His name is Sam Monson. You can follow him on Twitter at @PFF_Sam. Go to PFF.com, Pro Football Focus. They have a bunch of beautiful stuff there. I love following them. And obviously this week we have the NFL 15 players entering prove it years in 2020 with a lot of what we just broke down there with Sam. If you want to see if there's a player that you're wondering he hits on, go check out that list and make sure you follow him at @PFF_Sam. Sam, have a great 4th of July weekend, buddy. Appreciate your time this morning.
You too, guys. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.